presence of the Lord, and just have a couple announcements I need to make quickly, so it would help us get into the prayer service, gathered here for prayer service. And I don't know if maybe I'm not making myself clear and I'm not making myself understood, but I think that we need to be a little more sensitive to what we're trying to do. I think when the minister would say something for the church, for the benefit of the church, for the advancement of the church, for the Holy Spirit to move among the people, we need to be sensitive. I think Sunday I said be sensitive to announcements, listen to announcements carefully. When we come in the house of God, we know what we're coming for, we know the approach to God. I believe that, you know, we've been taught, we've been trained, we know that the attitude of approach is going to determine the results. Not that God say, even though God says something, God still needs the people to cooperate with Him if they are to benefit from what He said. Even though He died for it and shed His blood, they still have to have faith and have the right attitude to receive what He has given. And so we certainly desire to see the church rise up. That's the whole purpose behind the centralization of the world. We believe the time is running out. We believe that we need, when we come in the house of God, we give priority to the service, and knowing that the way we start anything is, it don't have nothing in Christianity like a bad beginning make a good ending. What you sow, you reap. How much you put into this, how much you're going to get out of it. It is the type of approach you have. Is if you're convinced, if you're influenced, if you understand what you're doing. Amen. And then when you're dealing with spirit, you have to be sensitive. Spirit is not a flesh thing that you go by reason, imagination, you go by sight. You have to be sensitive from the inside of your heart, where the control tower is, working through the word that is open up to you, showing you the time, showing you the season, showing you what God requires. And we make ourselves available to that the word could have free course, that the Holy Spirit could come behind the word and anoint the word, because flesh and blood cannot do nothing. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that is why it's so important. And I believe that God has a lot in store for us. I believe God wants to give to us. We don't have to convince ourselves of these things. We don't have to try to convince God of anything either. Brother, I believe that God have made provision for us. He has made it secure. He comes by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The word comes forth. The word shows you. You're going to have that. The word shows you how to approach God for that. You get a hold of the key in your hand. You know you have the key. You're going to open up that door. It gives you access to these things, because faith goes into operation. Hearing, recognizing, and acting brings it to pass. Not a 40-day fast. Hearing, recognizing, and acting. Working with God. Amen. And that is such a tremendous thing, such a wonderful thing. And we certainly want to exercise in all that God have given to us. We want to put it into action. But we know that's where the great battle is. That's where the enemy comes. And nothing is going to be out of fight. We have to take rank quickly and rank and file and get in position as an army. Amen. Everyone setting the course. Everyone setting the position. When we talk about prayer, it takes prayer warriors. Praying is not just we come and we say a little normal prayer. Sometimes have that type of prayer. You might be home. You might be meditating on your bed. Lay back there. Fix your pillow just nice. Slant yourself just good. Relax there. Meditate on the Lord. But then something you have to wrestle like Jacob too. Sometimes you have to pray like Elijah, praying through. Sometimes you give a nice big prayer like Solomon, and down come the Holy Spirit, pillar of fire, fill the place, consume the sacrifice. Then sometimes like Elijah, I say, go look 7 times and keep praying and praying through until you get a hold of something by the grace of God, perseverance. And so we realize that, you know, there's many things. We have the room full with the brothers on that side there. I said that we're going to have young men, people who are seeking the Holy Spirit, get on that side. And you know, I really appreciate the response of the brothers right away. We had a few sisters, they wanted to get a little place put aside for them as well. I had here, but I know we were going to maybe make one or two announcements quickly, so they can maybe use the front here where we can know, because I think in there might be a little congested. If we have to get into the prayer with some of them and instruct some of them, it might be easy. And I had this service with the men, our first little service, and I was calling, making a call out of my heart. I'm not in formality, I'm not in program, I'm trying to find men who have a burden. I'm not even looking at officers to do these things exclusively. I'm not even looking at ministers to do these things exclusively. People have to have a burden. If you don't have a burden, I can't give instructions, go and do this and do this. I preach the word, it go out, I expect people to catch it. Wait, fall, and somebody get a hold of it, some of you elder brothers there. You will not be out of place if you feel that you want to step out there and pray with some of the young men. You will not be out of place. I'm trying to break down things that become unspoken and unwritten laws in the church that was never taught. I'm trying to break down and remove concepts that people have that get things structured, and they have people not knowing how to move and what to do, if they're right or if they're wrong. And make them people get retarded and introvert because they feel somebody's going to stop them and ask them what they're doing. It takes love to intercede for people. It takes a burden, it takes faith. It takes having a desire in your heart to see people delivered. Let me tell you, you can't educate people into that. That is an experience where a man walks with God in the presence of God. That is not a mechanical thing. That is walking in daily and seeing young men and young women there making an effort for God and striking your heart and saying, my goodness, look at the world and the condition it is today, and look at the kind of desire that some of these young people have. And it strikes as an honorable thing. And you say, man, if, like Brother Bram said, if I see a woman trying to live right, he said, I'm willing to shed my last drop of blood to keep that woman clean and she wants to live right. In other words, here's a man with a vision of womanhood, what womanhood is, a woman's place, a mother of her children, these things, and if she's trying to live right, that if he had to cause him something, though he might not be related in no way, to keep that pure, to keep that a certain way, because you respect that. You come from a home, you know, a mother, the backbone behind a home. Those things strike people in the heart. Let me tell you, that is the place. God don't work on formality. God don't work on man-made programs. God work among the people where there's a faith, where there's a hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Once you know it's God you're dealing with, you know it's impossible for God to lie. That is why any man who is serious in his heart, like Brother Bram, when he read the scripture, greater works than these shall you do. He said, God said that, that have to be so. Here is a man in this generation when millions of churches and people felt that that could be a King James interpretation, that maybe the old revised version didn't say that, maybe this interpretation said that. And here's a man saying, if God said that, God cannot lie. God, if I'm a man going to have, you know, try to get somebody to believe me and have confidence in me, I'll have to be honest. They have to see something in me, some integrity to believe me. How much more God if he's God? And that's the way a man approached God. And he found that God keeps his word. And that is what, where you get desperate and you want to come and you see something happen, friends. And so we desire by God's grace this sacrifice, this effort that we are making. We are not making this because of any personal achievement. We are making it because we look in the naked word of God and see the lateness of the hour. We look and realize that God, you know, we have to carry out God's service in a manner pleasing unto God. God have to see, that's my people. Look how they respect me. Look how they honor my name. Look how they hold fast my name. Look how they separate from all iniquity and shun the appearance of evil, because they know I'm a holy God and they desire fellowship with me. And so they so want that fellowship, they will let nothing tarnish them to break that fellowship, because they want my presence around them. When I see my people want me like that and they want to keep me close to them, I want to stay close to my people. I will never leave them nor forsake them. That's what God people desires. That's what God desires. Don't you realize we can attract God's presence? Don't you realize we can do something to get God's favor? Don't you realize that it's something that please God? But a pastor has come and watch our congregation and see how people are lining up with the word here and feel a sense of satisfaction. Say, my goodness, look at the people of God. Look how they respond to the word. Look how they get convinced. Look how they're lining up to believe in God for the promise. How much more God, when he sees people like that standing there under hardship, making sacrifices,
putting him first, laying things aside to give preeminence to his word and these things. What is God is saying? They're honoring me. They're taking it serious. They're taking it sincere. They are convinced. They believe I want to do that for them. They believe this is season. They ain't taking it, you know. They just hear the word. They begin to line up. That's my people. Look how they're respecting the word. Look how they believe in the hour that is being told to them. We are in that hour. These things, they can have these things among them. Why do they want these things? That the church can rise to be the kind of witness that can give. Amen. Because it's an hour of judgment, friends. It's an hour when God wants to move among his people. And so tonight, by God's grace, we ask that, you know, we try to deal with needs. Remember, we are not on formality. Everything is being restructured to deal with needs that have been laying there for years that cannot be given the type of attention, the quality of focus that is needed, the perseverance, the concentrated effort to stay lined up with the thing until the results come. Sometimes you see a man, brother, he knows you have oil there, and they're digging and they're digging and they're digging. But like when Elijah said, dig this valley full of ditches, and they have to dig and they have to clean out all the trash and everything that clog up the thing to see the water come. They were determined to dig. After a while, they dig for 5 minutes and say, you sure we dig in the right place? They're confused. No. They know it's like, dig here. Dig here. That is where the well is stopped up. That is where the well is stopped up. And they were determined to dig through until they see the water begin to come. Let me say this. That is what the kind of focus you want. If you know if you're going to get something from God, there'll be a lot of things, ingredients go into place to get God's response. You must have the right approach. You must have the right attitude. You must have the right, give him respects. Give him the right title. We must create the right atmosphere. We must have the expectation. We must be willing to exercise and act upon what we believe. Even to see God start to respond. We know that. We know it's not like, Father, you know, and we're confused. No. Lord, we come here for a purpose. Lord, you brought us to this place tonight. Lord, you give us this place. Lord, we are standing here with conviction. And remember, you know also, you don't have to, we deal with a God who know what we have need of him before we ask. We are dealing with a God who said, pray that God himself laborers, though the Lord of the harvest was standing right there. But he tell them that because he want them to have a part in it. So when you get when you conscious, it's God we're dealing with. It's not a man you ask for something. It's God. And you know God laid so. And then you know you're coming cooperating with the word. And then you know it's impossible for God to lie. The thing is already settled even before you start. But you're going to stand there and have the victory. Because why? You're going to show that you believe what God has said concerning these things. And that's what I'm believing tonight. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit here is going to do these things for us. And I say, some of these people need a little instruction on receiving the Holy Spirit. Instructions have to be clear, not confusing, not no long things to put the person's mind. There's just certain requirements where a person can get focused, where a person can understand the basis upon which they receive from God, the condition they need to be in to receive, the attitude they need to be to receive. Because if we are here, is there even a challenge where we create the atmosphere in here, not just on a selfish way, not in a disinterested way. If we want to see God move among us, when we come here as a church, as a prayer meeting, there must be a certain amount of integration among us, where we can pray for each other, where we can know this is the church. We are the church here. We are handicapped in certain areas. We are retarded in certain areas. We have paralysis and impotence in certain areas. We are uncultivated in certain areas. We need to come up to a certain level. We need to be convinced a little more. We need to be a little more certain of God. We need to be a little more convinced that we can be a little more concerned. When we know the areas of the church and we start to break through the barriers in our own life, in our own self, in our own concepts of people, in our own attitude, in our own way that we carry our life for years. If we want to see a move, if we want to see a revival take place among us, if we want to see something break out among us, remember, this is what we are looking for. We can have these things. I says they palm a womb, they canker a womb, and then they eat off certain things on a local level of the tree. It have to come back on the tree. It's not like God stopped doing that. Oh, God used to do that. Everything God did in the Bible, God still do now. Everything the church ought to have to make it operative and carry out the commission. If the church don't have what it takes, it can't fulfill the word. Though it is the church to fulfill the word. Moses couldn't fulfill the word, though he born to fulfill the word, until he get in condition where God could use him to fulfill the word. Jonah couldn't fulfill the word until God get him in condition to fulfill the word, though he born to fulfill the word. So it's not being born alone for it, it's getting in condition for it. When God get a man whipped out of himself, when a man come to a place, he just so much under the control of the Holy Spirit. He just has so much love for the church, so much love for the people of God, so much love for their family that are hurting, so much love to see God's name be glorified in the midst of the people, so much love to see that there be no segregation, there be no barriers, there be no complexes, there be no cliques and these things. So much love for the church that when you see these things in the church, it gets you sensitive. You know that hurts the church. You want to move it out. Which parent could look among the children and see this boy talking to his sister, and every time you go to talk to his sister, you have to insult his sister. Or every time his sister, you know, go to deal with the brother, you know, show that to be slanderous or something. No parent want to look in the home and see that. When they see the children in love, standing for each other, backing each other up, playing together, laughing together, enjoying it. Oh my, it does something in the heart of the parent. How much more God, the extreme parent, when God looks down on his church to see his children praying. When God hears somebody come in a prayer service and then praying for themselves and all the different troubles, and God sees them break that realm, we have confidence that God will take care of those things, and we're going to pray for a brother, pray for a sister. They understand the importance of the ministry being the presence of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit to bring the word to the people where the word can feed them and minister nourishment and keep the church healthy and keep the church in union with God and keep the church in a clear vision and keep the church burdened and keep the church revived and keep the church focused. When people understand the church need to be so, and God can use the ministry to bring the church so people can pray for the ministry. When people understand how God used Elijah to bring back a... But when Elijah came to Israel, it bring an end to drought. When Moses came to Israel, it bring an end to bondage. When Jesus came, it bring an end to sin. But Abraham say, Lord, when Billy Graham come to Louisville, it'll be an end of alcoholics and all these things, because the man have a ministry to bring the thing to repentance, to slay all these things, and whiskey that have so much of people drunk and broken homes and everything else. When the prophet is going to places, people is looking at people in wheelchairs, straight jackets, it's going to bring an end to the suffering. How much more God raise up a church in the last days? How much more when God raise up people, friends, and can anoint them and send them forth? People, it have suffering in the church, it have troubles in the church. People cry out for the Holy Spirit. People cry out for different things. It can bring an end to those things. Because when God moves, God deals with the circumstance. You believe that tonight? I'm saying this to anoint your faith. I'm saying this to get your focus. I'm saying this to stimulate the desire in your heart. I'm saying this to challenge your faith and say, God, are you really want to do these things for us? Lord God, maybe I need to be more focused. Lord God, get me in that channel. Get me that burden. Get me that. I can't get myself, so I don't want to woke up myself. But Lord, I search my heart tonight. I'm tearing down everything. I'm rooting out everything tonight. Because if it's not for me, I want it for my brother. I want it for my sister. I want it for that family, Lord. I want to see the church in their place. If these things are right and this is where it ought to be, then Lord, bring it to this spot. The greatest weapon that God put in the hand of people is prayer. And that's why we want to approach these things. But Abraham speaking on a little message here. It's not long ago when Captain Al-Farah did what does. What doest thou here? He said, not long ago when Captain Al-Farah of the FBI over in the juvenile parts of the United States, he said he had me in his office after I led him to Christ down in the shooting gallery. He said, but Abraham, I'm a Baptist. I hear you as a Baptist. I said, yes, sir. He said, but I haven't got that Holy Ghost that you're talking about. He said, you think it'd be for me? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'll order my suite somewhere in some nice hotel room. And it's you and I go up there. Maybe he'll come to the hotel room and fill me with his Holy Spirit. Here's this man, big chief of the FBI in the United States, over the whole United States, juvenile conditions and so on, where they have all the crime and different things. man come in the meeting, he followed the prophet for years, thinking it was a hoax, these big meetings, wanting to know if there's some gimmick. Finally, man was convinced that, no, this is the Holy Ghost, this is the power of God. Brother Ramley led him to Christ. And after he brought him to the place where he accepted Jesus as his Savior, the man didn't want to stop there. He wanted the Holy Spirit. And he began to talk to him. He said, here's a Baptist, maybe I could get a nice suite. We go somewhere, maybe God might come to me. Get a nice big hotel, some 5-star hotel, we get in there, we're quiet, nobody to disturb us. Put the do not disturb sign on the door, and we stand there, Brother Branham, and maybe you can pray me through. He said, you don't have to have a hotel suite. Said, well, where would he meet me at? I said, right here. He said, he would come in this gallery? Would he, a shooting gallery here? Where does he go and shoot targets? So them policemen keep sharp to fight crime. And the man says, his concept of God now. He see God in the meetings. He see a holy prophet standing in the pillar of fire, calling sin out, rebuking sin. He said, would he come here in the shooting gallery? He wanted to go in a hotel suite. I said, right here. He said, he would come in this gallery. Would he? A shooting gallery here? I said, he went into the belly of a whale for one, into a fiery furnace for another. He'll meet you on any ground that you'll meet him on. Sure, God wants to meet you. He wants to talk it over with you. He'll come to you where you are. You believe that tonight? Remember Sambo, boss wanted the Holy Ghost? He said, boss wanted the Holy Ghost. Sambo looked at him. He realized he wasn't ready. He said, come, boss, come. Come with me. And they kept going. He said, where are you going, Sambo? He said, boss, you want the Holy Ghost or not? He said, come on. And I trust that you who say you want it tonight, you're hungering and thirsting. Know that God gave a promise, the God who it is impossible for him to lie, the God who keeps all of his word, the God who sustains this universe by his very word, the God who died for the very purpose to bring this to your heart tonight. What is the Holy Ghost given for? He said, now tomorrow night, I would like to find or have some ministers if possible, some good solid men or women that would start after the message to lay on hands of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll have your privilege of staying right here if you wish to, all through the holidays, if it takes that long to die. Ruth had to mark the spot where Boaz lay. She went and lay down at his feet, is that right? And then he took his garment and covered her. Is that what the Bible says? I'm giving you a little something. You who desire the Holy Spirit, you can mark this spot where Jesus lived. You can lay down there and die too. If you desire to go to your home, he says, we would be glad if you'd get in a place. Just don't know where to go. We want to get some ministers. Their numbers, if they are visitors, their numbers where they are staying, that where we could get a hold of them right away and get one in one home, one another, that they could give you instructions. You are going to seek for this great blessing that you are talking about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Abraham had it in his own church. That's where I'm getting this from. That's why I'm reading for you reading it to you to see that when people in the church needed the Holy Spirit, he had men and women who could help in truth. But remember, you have to have it to help somebody to come into it. Flashing red light, 1963. After the seals open to, he says, look, while our heads are bowed, this is a place, I can hear my Savior calling. If the song leader will give us a little word of that, with our hearts bowed, the service is at hand, in the hand of Almighty God now, to whosoever wishes to be baptized, wishes to go into the prayer rooms to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's instructors here who will be ready to instruct you or do anything. You know, when you're in a church and you ask for men to help some young ones, to me, that is an honorable thing. To me, that's an honorable thing. A man in a church, you're serving the Lord, you have experience. Jesus is your Savior. You know him, the joy of salvation, him, the pardon of your sins. Your sins been washed away. When you sing, oh, happy day, oh, happy day. You know what it was to be free when he loosed that chain from you. You know what it is to walk with him in a consecrated life, the places where he leads you and prove his word to you in your life. Brother, such a person, if you have that in your heart, if that is real and that Holy Ghost still keep you, you can talk to people. When you have a church that lack that, let me tell you, how can that church prosper? Because people who have the Holy Ghost is God inside them, the God who gives the word, the God who is going to judge this world, the God who's trying to save everyone that could save, the God who's standing there pleading the great intercessor. People who have the Holy Ghost is always burden for other people. That's one of the greatest signs that you really have the Holy Ghost. Especially in an age like this, those who sigh and cry for the abomination in the city. Is that right? I'm not trying to make this hard, I'm just trying to say, maybe some of us need to get rekindled the fire that we have inside of us. Maybe some of us just let the Holy Spirit just come to a place that we just, you know, kind of shut him and suppress him many times. Maybe some of us, you know, need a little teaching there to let loose the Holy Ghost in your life to energize you, to stimulate your faith and get your faith operative. Now we can see a real church. Now when we come here, we can have respect for each other. We can have a burden, we can have work. Everybody called to preach from the pulpit, as I say on Wednesday night. But we all called to work. We all called to help. We all called to work. But there are people here who have experienced, people who raise children, people who are through hard time, people who are through suffering. They know what it is to intercede for people. They know what it is to stand there and pray and plead and get a hold of God. They know what it is in hard times. Maybe they went through experiences in life and suffering and hardship. They never know what all this was for. Maybe this is the moment all those things was for. That now you can begin to take the place and stand there in the gap as an intercessor and plead the case. Amen. For many people who need someone to stand and pray through with them. When you see that in a church, you're going to see a revival. When you see that in a church, you're going to see a church where God will come down among the people. When you see a church where people are not interested or concerned of each other, you will see an intellectual gathering where God is grieved away and where God can hardly move among them people. Because by this love shall all men know you are my disciples when you love one another. It is the same Jesus who crossed land and sea for legion, one maniac who nobody wanted and had in chains in a cemetery. If that same Jesus is inside of us, how much more for people inside the church, day after day, week after week, month after month, trying to live a true life and hold on, and we pass and look at them back and forth, and we can have the opportunity here tonight to stand and really pray to the Holy Spirit do something. May this church be challenged tonight, but may this church accept the challenge of the Holy Spirit and respond back in the affirmative and say, God, I'm going to step forward. Take me to your hand and make me an instrument. Give me understanding. If you begin to see the need even to get into the word, and when you go to instruct somebody, you can create an atmosphere of faith around them. Not a bunch of intellectual talk. Create an atmosphere of faith around them. Create the assurance and the confidence in the heart that God wants to give it to them. Get their heart so tender before God and sincere where they can break free from their own complexes and their own tensions in their mind, their own pressures and all these things. And rest in the assurance that God keeps his word. But I tell you, you'll see something real. He says, to whoever wishes to go into the prayer rooms to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's instructors here that'll be ready to instruct you to do these things. If some of you will go with the woman over here for seeking the Holy Spirit, go in the room to the right, some of you sisters. 1959 was the Holy Ghost given for. 1963, he said, you men, you women, go with them, pray with them. But remember what them, he said, what we Pentecostal people need. He says, I remember in the days up in the hills of Kentucky when them old mammies used to stand there and beat them on the back and see them come through to the Holy Spirit. See people get the real experience. He said, we long ago, but I was telling Timmy when I was in Poland, just last year, a few months ago, there in that meeting, had some of them old men who suffered in the communist system, 80 years old, standing there. You should have come in the meeting and they stand there. Them old saints who through persecution, but in all kind of underground basement and everything, had to try to gather, being threatened to be locked up and everything else. And when they come in the meeting, the place was packed wall to wall with people. That when God removed the tumor miraculously from that woman who was healed there. And that night, when the Spirit was moving and people were just coming, kneeling down, crying out for the Holy Spirit, and them old saints, they're walking through the congregation, but are getting in, working their way, pulling people out. He says, and then he called me, he dunked this aisle here, look over here, and he pulled two out here, and bring them to prayer. Then go over here, and they find them in the congregation. Why? They don't, you know what these people know? They know when God is on the scene, this is the opportunity to capitalize upon everything. They know, brother, it is the advancement of the kingdom. It is the joy and peace in homes when God can deliver children in a home. Brother, appeared, which greatest thing? You think any parent here tonight want to see a new car park in the garage and unsafe children? You see some parent want to see, brother, more nice tea set and dinner set in the buffet and nice curtain and drapes and see the children out in the world in drugs or the young girl, brother, tap with the wrong boy or something? But I guarantee you, every family here, we don't want to see them cheering there, saying, Mommy, it's time for us to go to church. We want to late. Come on quickly. We don't want to be late for service. And they're coming right there. And when they're going home in the car, they say, oh, Dad, that was a message tonight. What a wonderful thing. Oh, by the excited that you see them put the spoken word book in the bag and they go, that's what you desire to see. Well, how you expect to see those things and sit down here and look at one another and then wonder these things? When you can come here and get before God, amen. When you can break through all complexes and all Trinidad culture and all self and all kind of churchianity and these things and break through them things into a place where the Holy Ghost can really move. We see a real old-fashioned move of the Holy Spirit. We see the church come back like it was in the book of Acts. Then we see that God can move with Trinidadians too. Then we see that God can take a bunch of people from this little nitwits, from this little island out in the Caribbean Sea here, and raise us up to make this Bible live, and to see this word be made manifest, and to see this message be vindicated and confirmed in a people. If we believe that God wants to do those things, if we believe that that's the thoughts of God, if we believe that that's the conviction, if we believe that that will not unchristianize us, but it will help us come into a condition where we get more pressurized to deal with the challenges of this hour. But if every minute a little crisis come, we see part of the church cave in and fall, two fall in the flesh, two gone in sin, two gone in sin. And every 2 weeks when the spiritual move, we have, I want to make a confession, saints. Saints are falling in the flesh. I want to make a confession, saints. People have to get fed up with that. But when people get fed up with that, and it keeps giving them topics to talk about, and keep the gossip at a certain level, Well, again, nobody want to pray them things out of the church. But when you sort of see why we have to cave in every time a little thing come, why can't we with revelation know before them winds blow, we can get the thing bolted down, amen? We can focus in the places that we already is conscious, a little weak, and need fortifying. Why can't we come with that kind of objective when we come in the house of God for prayer? You agree with me? I'm saying let's meet God face to face. God is not in churchianity, friend. God is in truth. Anybody willing to meet God in truth, God is meeting on truth. God don't meet people under pretense and make believe and everything all right, when not all right. God needs people to repent and cry out and beg for help. And when God see you sincere and you're confessing the thing, just like it is, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, this thing fighting me. Lord, God, if you do something here, this thing going to make me bring shame to your name. I don't want that, Lord. Take it away. Fortify me. Point the Holy Spirit in them places, you're going to see something happen. But when you're in the covenant and go along and say, I ain't nothing, and once nobody you know what I'm going through, and next thing, you're undermining your own self inside. You're decaying on the inside. You can't smile no more. You can't lift your hand no more. Why? Because you're afraid to face the thing and say, Lord, remove this thing. Take it away. You're ashamed many times to come for prayer and say, oh, God. Let me tell you, if we are sincere and we are walking this world, we must know anybody that live in 16 elements that have a battle every day. That is not no secret. If the virgin born son who wasn't born by sex was tempted at all points, what me and you? Who born by sex? But when Satan could come and bring it, and we all get religious in the outside and something else in the inside, then we rest in our own selves. Because let me tell you, once you want to live for God, once you want your heart right, you're going to find that God is faithful to give you what you need. And then many times in our church, you might be okay, you might be having the victory, you might be walking in the Spirit. But you know why God strengthens them? So the strong could bear the infirmity of the weak. Because God wants to work in and through us. God don't want the strong to look down at the weak and despise the weak. God wants, he said, I give you strength so I could be revealed in flesh, in your flesh to them, and God could come close to them and more personalize them, and they could know God right in the midst. They could see God in his people. This is what we desire tonight by the grace of God. He said, now will some of you, some of the brethren for instructions, go in the room here at my left. Would the brethren get ready for the baptism? He said, some minister brothers come here and help. Step in the room with us. People, he knows it. Just like anything, somebody comes to the church for the first time, or in the church, among the people, they want to find a mother's room, a mother and a baby. Somebody want to find the restroom. Somebody want to find where they, maybe the minister offices. They need a little instruction, like that. Go along this way, walk to the back, you'll see a deacon there, talk to you. Go this way, right away. It's right over here. That door on your left there. It happened. Their purpose in their heart already. But they need a little instruction to be clear. Somebody just make it easy. They are thankful. Somebody helpful here, knowing that that's something they can do to assist. And when two shall agree upon touching anything, it shall be done. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get into such an atmosphere here for prayer. And I wasn't supposed to be in the desk tonight, but I had to be because the time was running out and I didn't want the service to be wasted. But please let us approach the things of God this year with a greater determination if you want to see God move. Remember, God is not going to work on convenience. Remember, we can't bring no halfway thing to God. Remember, it takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, I'm not about platform performances. I'm not trying to put no image, religious image to people. I am let working with the Word. If we get serious with God, God will get serious with us. I want to read you a little scripture before we pray. You could listen, you have to turn the Bible. Luke 11. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Then he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And then after that, he gave them this parable on intercessory prayer, which I preach on, but I want to just read it tonight. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he have need of. Because of his shameless persistence. Because he will not take no for an answer. Where claims of friendship is inoperative, yet perseverance brings a thing. Jesus is teaching that. But when you stand on behalf of somebody else, unless you don't get under the burden of the person's need, you cannot do nothing for them. And then when you can use your association, your relationship with God to full advantage, you can get something that the person have need of from the one you're pleading for, the one that you're standing on behalf of. If we have to pray for each other, if we have to pray for this work, if we have to pray for the ministry, if we have to pray for the offices, if we have to pray for the vision, and the things that we have before us to get the work established, to get the work operative this year, early, to get it on the move, to start to see the Spirit moving. That even where we are handicapped and retarded, when we begin to esteem of greater value the things of God, to get focus upon it. That when the things of God prosper, it is to all our benefit. Because this is what our life is all about.
I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. Everyone that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. He that seeketh, find it. Not might find. If you're lucky. No. He that seeketh, find it. In other words, Jesus is saying these things are certain. And you know the word there is keep on asking until you receive. Keep on knocking until the door is open. The man needed 3 loaves for his friend. But he came under the burden and the need. And he knew that his friend had to have that. Don't we know that people have to have the Holy Spirit, otherwise they can't go? The man was specific, I want 3 loaves. The man, though he meets so much resistance, it's midnight, my door shut, my children in the bed, I can't come out. That never turned him back. No among the obstacles discouraged him. He stood there. He said, I have to have it. The man is in need. When we don't even have that feeling, let's pray for that feeling. Before we run forward to do something, let's pray for that feeling. If we don't have it. Because that's what it's going to take to move God, not psychology. That's what it's going to take. But God don't have to take all the year to give you that. God give you that from the moment you see it. From the moment you get your spirit right. From the moment you throw up your hands and surrender. Right there, the Holy Spirit can begin to stir you into a place where you can have these things. Let's bow our heads tonight. Almighty God, knowing that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And as one standing here among the people, in this late hour, Father, standing between the living and the dead, in this day when time is running out, your prophet says we can almost see an angel with his hand lifted up, with 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea, saying, time shall be no more. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is righteous will be righteous still. But like Abraham stood, Father, when he saw you appear in the investigation judgment, when you say, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm about to do? Isn't that what it has been for us down through these years? You didn't hide from us what you was about to do. But you broke those seals one by one. And you begin to reveal the mysteries contained in those seals. That we might see Jesus and his program. That we might recognize our day and its message. That we might see the signs of the time. That we might know, dear God, how to redeem the time, knowing the days are evil. And Father, as we, as a church, have these things identified and being made clear to us, it behooves us, O God, to get under the burden of this great responsibility and take the position that your word shows we must take. And here tonight, dear God, beginning this year, our first prayer meeting, Lord, we have come and assembled in this place, and we want to come with a different attitude than we came in last year. We want to come under the effects of the word, knowing to whom much is given, much is required. We want to come, dear God, knowing, Father, that when you instruct us in these things, when you open the scriptures, when you show us the approach, the attitude of approach, that is what you expect us to come in. For that is why you taught us these things, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you empty us out, Lord, of all our self and our pride. Empty us out of all our unbelief, oh God, our secret sins. It don't have to be moral sins. But oh God, whatever it is that would hinder us from really getting a grip on you, we're going to apprehend these things, oh God. We're going to take a hold of it and not turn it loose for nothing. But stand here with perseverance until we see it being made manifest. Let your Holy Spirit come down tonight. Move upon this audience. Your children, oh God, you said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Move us into that sphere, Father. Each and every one of us in our own way. You know how to deal with us. You know how to break up the fountain on the inside. Oh God, of the Holy Spirit, oh God, to trouble our soul to pray. But yeah, God, it will not be us praying from the mind, but it will be the Spirit praying. Even with groanings and utterances, making intercession when we don't even know how to pray or how to ask. God, may you grant it, Father. Panisi. Oh God, this one who is a strength giver, whose strength is in might and power in the inner mind, that we can take this sword and mortify the members. We can destroy Amalek, oh God. Father God, we can fight this battle with intercessory prayer, and we can prevail, and we can have the victory. And all the things that we ask in prayer, believe we have received it, we can see it be made manifest. Let it be tonight, Father. I pray, Spirit, move with the ministers who would instruct, Lord, some of the young men, who would help with some of the people seeking the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. Those, oh God, Father, that you've given faith, you've given experience. Those, dear God, you know, Father, you can work in and through. That can be a co-worker with you in this great hour. Lord, I pray you move upon them. You put that burden in their heart, you give them that faith. You anoint that revelation within them, Father. We don't want to make no exclusive group and cliques in the church. But we want our church, our whole church as operative. Men and women as led by the Holy Spirit. Even among sisters, Lord, we know you have given us godly women among us. Father, who can pray, who you put love and concern in their heart. May they not be bound with no concept in their mind, but may they have a liberty, oh God. May they can pray one for the other. For by this love shall all men know you're my disciples when you love one another. May you grant it tonight, Father. Let your Spirit just break through. Give us a real old-fashioned prayer meeting tonight. Where you can see the church, dear God, moving up and mounting up in the Spirit. Grant it, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your sweet Holy Spirit just descend and spread over this congregation, all in the side rooms everywhere. And may, oh God, the faith of your people be turned loose tonight. No, it is not by might or by power. It is not him that will, him that run it. It is by his Spirit, Lord, it is you who shed mercy. Grant it, we ask tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's sing it softly as we get ready to go into prayer. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Those who need to come to the front, those who have an urgent request, if you want someone to pray with you, pray for you. Those who have special needs, come on the side. Those who are seeking the Holy Spirit, the sisters can come along the side. There are the brothers in the room behind. Those out in the congregation, you can stay there and pray. And as you come, you just kneel and pray. And during the course of the meeting, there'll be people who will come and pray with you, will talk with you. Let's make it a real united prayer tonight. Where the Holy Spirit can truly be let loose in this place. Oh, you dim that light to me, please. Father, oh, they that wait upon the Lord, believe it tonight.
He's a prayer answering God. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And appreciative, maybe one of the ministers or one of the deacons would take the side room with the brothers. Don't go to sleep, just get to praying in the spirit, worshiping God. Hallelujah. Come and kneel, don't stand up, just come and kneel. You wait there. During the course of the meeting, somebody will pray to you. Get praying for your own self first, and then someone come and pray to you. When you're here at this altar, we know that you mean you want someone to pray to you. We understand that. God, bring his word to pass. The Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, he don't just stop when we stop. Tomorrow, the day after, he goes through the neighborhood, he goes through the home, he sees each and every one, those crying out for a closer walk, a deeper experience. All those who know they had failed God and came in repentance, crying out, emptying out, renewing the pledge to God, crying for once more, laying aside the weight, laying aside every sin. All those who know they had things there outstanding, they put it in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. You know that God hears a sincere prayer. God is faithful when these prayers are stored up in vials. The Bible says when God opened the vials and poured them prayers, God told Zechariah that prayer, God has remembered you. That prayer has been answered. God told Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Hallelujah. God, don't forget them prayers, saints. You stand in your prayer, faith have been prayed. Hallelujah. He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. Let's just worship him. Let's just get in the spirit. Let's stay in the spirit. Amen. Let's just get into the attitude of worship now. Let's just go to giving thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. Oh, just let go. Amen. Move away from all formality, everything. Let's just yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. All around the building, everywhere. Hallelujah. Oh, lift up our hands and worship him. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor tonight, this great God. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. In him there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Father. We bless your mighty name tonight. We lift up our voices. We shout your praise tonight. We exalt the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Oh God, we confess that name tonight. Knowing there's victory in that name. Knowing there's power in that name. Knowing there's deliverance in that name tonight. Knowing, oh God, when we come in that name, no demon power can stand before us. Knowing, oh God, can pull down every stronghold tonight in that name. Knowing that prayer has been offered in that name tonight. Hallelujah, that great mighty name, revealing the seven thunders, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You who said, ask anything in my name, I will give it unto you. You ask for a bread, I will not give you a stone. You ask for a fish, I will not give you a serpent tonight. Father, we say yes tonight. We say yes to the Holy Spirit tonight. From the bottom of our heart, we say yes tonight. We thank you, O God. We lift up your great name tonight. We give you honor and glory tonight, Father. Our confidence is in you tonight. Our faith and our trust is in you. We judge you faithful tonight, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful and true tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we can stand up on your word. Oh, God, we have confidence. You are covenant keeping, God. Your covenant you'll keep tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. He touched me, he touched me. I know the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Let us sing that as we sing in the spirit of your worship. God tonight. It touched me. Hallelujah. Sing, just worship him all around the building. Hallelujah. You was praying a while ago, now praise him. Now praise the same God with faith. Confess in prayer. Confess in your song. Release your faith tonight. Hallelujah. Touch me. Touch me. Oh, yes. Oh. giving you might and power, strength in the inner man tonight. Something that special touch. He touched me and made me. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, I'll say yes. Let's sing it. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Oh, everyone, I'll say yes. No more retaliation, no more resistance, Lord. I'm yielding, I'm surrendering to you tonight. All that you say, that will I do. Be done to me according to thy word. Lord, no more excuses, Lord. I'm responding to your call. Where thou sendest, I will go. What thou sayest, I will do. No more excuses. No more stubbornness from me, Lord. No more resistance from me. I want to cooperate with you, Jesus. I'm lifting my hands to you tonight and singing it. I mean it in the bottom of my heart. Yes, Lord, yes. Hallelujah. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Right where I'm standing tonight, see me, Jesus. My hand is raised to you, and I'm saying yes. I'm giving you my word, my pledge of love tonight. Come on, sisters. Make me a temple meet if you're dwelling, Lord. Make me your servant tonight. Put the chains in me tonight. Make me a prisoner of love. I'm responding to you, Lord. When you call, I'll answer. No more blank stares, Lord. Hear my voice answering back. I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. You don't have to tell me 3 and 4 times, Lord. You only speak once and I'm gone. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Don't know, I'm with your brother and sister, get on real hot tonight. See how to pray for you. Say, may there be no obstacles, no barriers between us. May God so knit us as a family. May God bring such a feeling in our hearts that this will be the beginning of something new for us. That we are determined to keep on walking in and watch God take us deeper. As He lead, we will follow. Amen. Where He lead me, I will follow. I will go with Him all the way. No more pushing and pulling, Lord. I'll say yes. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I want to walk with you in this hour. Let tonight be the dawning of a new day for me, Lord. I'll be a better servant this year, a better representative of yours. Prepare me for service, Lord. Prepare me for service. Make me a sanctuary, Lord. Make me a temple, media dwelling. because I believe I was born to serve the Lord. I believe that my real calling, I believe that my real purpose in this earth, that's what I want to be, Jesus. Take away all formality from me. Take away the things that hinder me in my life down through these years. The things that have me paralyzed and bunged up. Loose me, Lord. I don't need bunged up no more. I don't want no hindrances no more. Take me out of my straight jackets, Lord. Put me down there, a place where I could serve you. I could be in the spirit, Lord. Amen. I could be an instrument in your hand, Lord. You could use me, Lord, for one more ride in this hour. I want to be numbered. I want to be counted, Lord. I want to stand here. Amen. Hallelujah. When the saints go marching, I want to be that number. I want to be counted. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Where he lead me, I will follow. Where he lead me, I will follow. You believe that tonight? Making a confession to Jesus Christ tonight. Where he lead me, I will follow. Some to the water, some to the flood, some to the fire. But I'll follow. Regardless, live or die, sink or swim, fear no friend. I'm starting with Jesus and I'm going through. Where he lead me, I will follow. I'll go with him. Could you sing that? Yes, I'll go with him. Another one. All the way. Not part, not halfway. You say, I want to be that one. Lift your hand and sing it. Where he lead me. The great dove that have come down to lead the eagles. Dove lead an eagle. That's the next message. Now I'm willing to follow, Lord. Where he lead me, cannot do it. But if you are failing and trying to obey his commandment, he'll take care of the rest. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And I'll go with him. In an hour when many are forsaking him, I'll go with him all the way. So where he lead me, I will follow. Once more, as a prayer to him, out of the sincerity of your heart, sing to Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow, Lord. And I don't want to follow far behind either. I want to walk into his bloody footprints. Help me, Lord. I'm trusting you tonight. I don't know where all you lead me, but I'm determined to follow tonight. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll go with you. And whatever it takes, mean that tonight? Is that your prayer? Lift your hands and sing it to Him. That's what.
I'll be with.
Sunshine for rain and meet it from the bottom of your heart tonight. I believe the Lord be pleased to see your determination tonight. Comfort for pain. Do you really mean it tonight? That's what you'd be willing to do? Hear the cry of your children, Lord. Hear the confession of faith tonight. Whatever it takes, and whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what. Could we try singing "Take the Dearest Thing from Me" and mean it? May God give us strength as we sing it. If that's how it must be dead sincere. To draw me closer. Oh God, help us to mean that from the bottom of our heart tonight. Give us the strength and the courage, Lord. Let the disappointments come. Stand with us when that time comes, Father. Lonely days without a sun. If in sorrow, more like you, her rapture is never made without suffering. It's a victory, not a gift. That's why we sing, and whatever it takes. That's our prayer tonight, Father. Oh God, take this church deeper. Take every family deeper, Lord. Fathers and mothers tonight. Young men and young women. The children, dear God. The ministry, the officers, the workers. For a church to stand, Lord, to finish this commission. That's what, Lord. I'd be willing to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Time is up. Was to leave to be on our way. I had a couple of brothers who was out with me in Africa to give a testimony on Sunday, and they didn't get a chance. I told them Friday night, and I know they have a couple of short testimonies, and it might be a fitting way to end the meeting tonight. I know they'll be sensitive to the time we have already spent here, but I just don't want to keep putting them off until the testimony get cold. So give them a couple of minutes and just let them unburden their heart and share with you what has been for them, being out there. You may have a seat. We certainly appreciate all the men tonight who responded to the call for help, to help pray through with some of these, and let it be the beginning in the assembly of a place that you want to continue to work in.
And God anoint you in a greater way and make you more skillful as you exercise in it. And develop you that you can work in a greater way with the people. We certainly would appreciate that, and we would be looking forward to maybe discussing some of these things even in our men's meeting. And when we come in meetings like these, we can just know how to move in and capitalize on the Holy Spirit being present and bring the blessing that can be brought, the Holy Spirit being present to the ones that are needy, and to build faith and courage in their hearts that they can really stand, that the Lord can really bless the church in the whole and make us a better equipped church by God's grace to face the challenge of this hour. We have good news for you. This announcement concerning the bus transport. Saints are advised there's been a change in the pickup location from opposite Unique Store. Okay, we were able to acquire a bus service for the Saints coming from Prince's Tongue all the way to Abel Country. We contracted a PTSC bus that can take 60 people, and they agree to pick people up along the way, and they'll drop you here and take you back after service. So that works out to about $5 per head, per person. So that is very economical. They come all from Princeton, Tibet Country, and back for $5. And that's a wonderful service. And that will be in operation on Sunday morning. And they had a little change. The first place mentioned was opposite Unique Store. But now they realized to operate smoother and more effectively, it would be better for them to pick the people up at Lothian's Road Junction. That is by the Anglican Church there, Lothian's Road Junction in Prince's Tongue. So they would not have to get tied up in the tongue to turn around and come back out. So you can pick the people up there and begin. So you see Brother Eddie is in charge of all the transport. He's working together alongside the trustees. And so I think you have been in touch with a lot of you and most of you. And if it's new to you tonight and you want to benefit from this service, please see him. He will tell you what is to be done. So see Brother Eddie. We now have a bus service and can take 60 people. It's just $5 per person return. That is both ways, to come and go is $5. Not five and five, one five. Amen. Just $5. So may God name be praised for that. Amen. Brother Ken, how about you come and Brother Ken Renwick was with us on the trip, and just make him feel welcome, amen.
Well, bless you all tonight, saints. Greet everyone in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I deem it a privilege again to stand before the redeemed of Jesus Christ to share with you some of the experiences we had in Africa. Being an eyewitness to some of the things that took place, things that I heard. I bring you all greetings from the saints in Africa, South Africa that is, and Zimbabwe. And some of the brothers who was there in Haiti, household names like Brother Sanchez, and Brother Eddie, Brother Victor and Steve Walters. This testimony really is a long testimony. But as Brother Ben mentioned a while ago, he tries to be sensitive given the time that we are presently at now. So I will have to chop it and cut it, you know, to accommodate the very late hour that we... It's already 10:30. However, my work background is in the petrochemical industry, okay? I work at Point Lisas, one of the methanol plants. Going to Africa to me when Bonavent mentioned to me about going to Africa, I wasn't surprised, but yet still, you know, it was unexpected. Being assigned in the point users industry right now is a very energetic area of the country, one of the most energetic areas, because they have a lot of expansion, rapid expansion, a lot of plants being built. And, I was assigned to one of the plants that being commissioned. And when I say commissioned, I mean a plant that has now been built and is on the way to production. And looking at the manner in which I ended up on this plant, you know, the manager had approached me and asked me if I was interested in for yet another startup. So I tell him, well, I tired, you know, give the younger fellas a chance. So he tell him, well, ponder upon it, think it over and get back to him. So after a little while, I got back and I tell him, well, I decided that I'm not interested, you know, because to start a new plant is a rigorous thing, is very tiring and so on, you know, long journal procedure. So he gave me the end of the month, end of June, to think it over and come back to him. When I came back, I said, well, I decided, you know, I wouldn't want to venture in a startup. So he said, well, I want you down there, you know. Your name cast in concrete, so you're going down. Now, it means that you're going to a startup, it means that you will be continuously at work from the time the plant is handed over into the production mode. A lot of ups and downs involved, a lot of problems, bottlenecks and so on, you have to sort out, right? So I went down. That was in September. And then the Minister of Pushman mentioned South Africa and Zimbabwe. I tell him, okay, I'm going. Knowing that I have no vacation to be given in 1997. In other words, all the vacation had been cancelled until the plant came on stream in this year. That is around April, May. So I went to the manager, I tell him, well, you know, the minister mentioned about going to Africa. I said, that's the desire. He put this upon my heart, you know. He said, well, you know, going to Africa, given where we are now with the plant startup, you know, people will look at you. Mentioned what you mean about you being a senior person here, you know, and the importance of you in the startup and this kind of thing. I said, well, I'm willing to pay the price, you know. So I had it that I decided to go. Organized everything. Really, actually, I didn't have available funds, you know, having traveled early in the year and, you know, spend money in different avenues. So having told the minister I'm going to Africa, having organized the vacation, now the next thing was funds. So I went to the bank at the deal there in Cuba, the public bank, and I tell them, well, you know, I need some funds. See? You didn't ask how much money you're looking for. I said, about $15,000. On secure loan, eh? She said the interest rate is 11.5%. That was the Monday. I needed the money by the Wednesday. I said, listen, let me sleep on it, I'll come back tomorrow. So I went home the Monday, came back the Tuesday morning. When I came back the Tuesday morning, she said the loan there for you, you can get an unsecured loan. She said the interest rate dropped yesterday from 11.5 to 7.9%. That was the Monday evening. That's the evening I went home and slept on it. So I said, okay, go and organize it. So she organized the loan, get everything in order, organized it by the World Buddha, get the money through Wednesday, and that was it, we was on. Not understanding my purpose of going to Africa, but you know, knowing how God had dealt with me in Arizona, my first trip with Brother Vin, and how God had dealt with me in Canada last year. And when the Holy Spirit dropped down and just swept through the church when Brother Biscuit was preaching that message and entrance to be ministered. And just under expectation, you know, heard about Africa, heard about the missionary work, heard about the message, how it's sweeping different areas in Africa, and I was just under expectation. And we head out, went into South Africa, long journey, some like 9,500 miles from here to Africa one way, you know, tiring, plenty hours, approximately 16 hours altogether, 16 hours from Miami to Africa, 3.5 hours from here to Miami. So the time we reached there, we had clocked across time zones, 6 hours difference, very tired, you know, met at the airport. But Edgar Roscoe, he met us and so on. And obviously from what I noticed, I realized, well, Brother Vin will have it rough on this trip. Because I see they got in the fellowship and different things was being spoken. And I said, well, boy, this looks like a real rough trip, you know? So We went to the brother's house. That was Wednesday. We left Tuesday. We arrived Wednesday evening, and right into there, we started the move. We were on the move already, because the brothers in Africa recognized them. We had just about 9 days. They wanted to capitalize on it, you know. So he took us to dinner the night. We came home 6 evening Wednesday, went to dinner. So we actually went into the short mode sleep right away. 3 hours sleep in the night, move during the day, all that you could do. Took us out between Wednesday and Friday. The other brothers took us out. Deacon, some of the brothers took us out, you know. Little leisure trips to the park and so on. And then the weekend coming, Saturday was the meetings. And I happened to get a cold Friday. Running nose, flu, and different things. And then the meeting came Saturday. But event came in, he preached his message, 3 phases of redemption, taking Jeremiah 29 and Jeremiah 32, showing Jesus Christ, the King's man, you know, and the purchasing work, the mediatorial work, and the claimant work. And since the message Saturday was, I don't know how to describe it, an evangelical message, cutting, chopping, cleaning, but the way the Spirit swept through the church. I mean, I have seen this in the Pentecostal church, but you know, in the Pentecostal church had a lot of flesh. But what I had seen that night in Brother Edgar's church, I know the Spirit moved that night, vindicated that he's present in the meeting. So it was, a tone was set then for the oncoming days. So therefore, after that night, we was under great expectation. The Spirit swept through the place, you know, people was crying, weeping, falling apart, and it was just a nice, sweet spirit amongst the people. And obviously, they were geared, they were set in a channel to receive the word, you know. And well, the cold continued right into the weekend. In fact, it was so bad until a brother gave me a box of napkins, you know, continuous blowing. And but I went came and he preached the Sunday morning and the Sunday evening. And then the same atmosphere through the word continued amongst the believers, and they were testifying how they, you know, they were so privileged, you know, to receive the quality of word. And we are blessed to be in a ministry like this, you know, under a minister, pastor like that. And then Sunday night after service, you know, we passed by a brother house. We had something to eat. We came home after 12. The normal thing was coming home late at night because after service was fellowship. And everybody wants to hear what the minister have to say. So it was like service into next service. And Sunday night, came home, tired, already tired. Have the cold, and then I end up with a stomach problem. Couldn't sleep the night, nauseous, you know, feeling upset and so on. And went through the night, get up Monday morning. It was like a retreat, really, because we got a break and we was going out into the countryside for a little retreat, like relaxation. And the morning, I said, well, then my stomach feeling real bad. And as yes, my stomach, I feel like that. I'm feeling very upset, nauseous, miserable, a lot of pain and so on. So I'm making a prayer request, you know. So right there, he prayed with me. I didn't take any breakfast. I didn't eat anything. Then we went into this drive, 5 hours drive into the countryside. We was going to another place called Cougar Park. A national park, really, with animals and a nice little kind of resort area. And we left on our way about between 8 and 9 o'clock. Sometime along the way we stopped, they stopped for breakfast, stopped a little outside there, had breakfast about 11. I tell them I don't want any breakfast, you know, leaving my stomach feeling. But then somewhere inside there while they were eating breakfast, I said, whatever, my stomach feeling good enough. All the pain gone, everything nice. You know? But I still ain't eating no breakfast. So we continued on, driving through the countryside of South Africa. South Africa is a very beautiful country. You know the background. I don't want to elaborate on too much things because we'll go too late. But it's a beautiful country. We had about 5 hours drive through the countryside, you know. Mass expanse of land, lush vegetation, you know. Well laid out, untouched territory, almost. And we reached Kruger Park. Before we reached Kruger Park, I have a little testimony here to share with you all. Before we reached Kruger Park, the brother Owen, he took us to a cave, some caves up in the hill. I can't remember the name of the caves. Took us up to these caves, you know. And the tour guide took us through the caves. And during the tour through the caves, he was taking off the lights to create an atmosphere in the cave. And at one particular point, he took off all the lights. And he asked, anybody here willing to sing a song? You know? So for the last month, this song, God, Rich and Mercy, has been in my soul, has been in my spirit. You know, singing it in my heart, singing it like it's like, you come to recognize, you know, what God has done for you. Coming to the message even before that. And right in the cave there, the song, God, Rich and Mercy, came to me to sing it, but it's like, I can't open my mouth. And then after he called again, he said, is anybody going to sing? Nobody volunteered. Then he put the lights on, you know, coming out after, like, right inside, a thought quickened to me, cast not pearls before swine. I didn't understand, I leave it right there. I fellowship with Brother Vin and after. I said, Brother Vin, you know, like, I want to sing this song, but like, I couldn't sing it, you know. It's like, a thought quickened to me, like, I was casting pearls to swine, you know, given the type of people that was inside there, you know. So I left it, not understanding it, went on. We end up in Kruger Park, set ourselves, you know, nice area, very relaxing. And I was telling Brother Vin, I said, Brother Vin, you know, in the world, the quickest place for us to go is Miami or New York. But you know, if I wasn't in this message, I'd never seen South Africa. The places that the message has took me to already, it was far above my thinking to ever end up in places such as this. The night we went to dinner, so I was remarking to Timmy, I said, Timmy, boy, I only drinking today, you know, boy, this stomach. You know, the enemy getting a little toss, like, even though you feel the stomach feel fine, you tell yourself, well, if you're going to eat, you know, it might upset things again. I said, Tim, boy, only drinking, boy. So we are stepping around the table for dinner. And I said in my heart, I said, boy, eat something. You're on vacation too. Have a good time. So I ordered some smoked salmon, some king clip. That's a type of fish, a white fish. Very nice. And I eat, and even when I went remarking, he said, boy, you're eating plenty, boy. But I feel so comfortable to eat it, you know, that I'm eating above my norm. So I ate, felt good, went to bed, and then I recognized, I said, Ken, look how the minister laid his hand, prayed, and a couple of hours, that's the more problem went. You know, surely the anointing that was on the minister, you know, even from the first service as I mentioned previously, the anointing that was upon the minister, the way how God had set him, you know, on this particular trip to do a work, clean up and come out. And I took note of that, eh? So however, we went to Kruger Park, had a good time, come back out. But I was supposed to preach his last service Wednesday in South Africa. Preach his last service. This time at the home church, he preached his last service. You know, and that was like the end of things in South Africa, as far as the South African trip, part of the trip was concerned. The saints in South Africa, in my heart, they are very genuine believers, you know. They receive the word, they appreciate the word and everything. And we were like getting ready to go to Zimbabwe the next day, which was Tuesday. So in the space of 1 week, just about 8 days, we were almost on the go every day. Let me retract a little bit. When Brother Brent preached the Saturday and the Sunday, his voice was very hoarse the Monday. Very, very hoarse, you know? Sticking honey and so on. And when he came back Wednesday, he preached the final message. Fellowship was normal, you know? Everybody trying to grab and take what they could get, you know, what the Spirit have to speak, they very receptive to it. We flew out the Thursday to Zimbabwe. In my heart, I was more expecting of Zimbabwe than South Africa. As I was remarking it to Timmy, I said, Timmy, boy, I set for Zim, boy. My heart is Zim, you know, I just believe something great will happen in Zimbabwe, under expectation. We flew out to Zimbabwe the Thursday. Met at the airport by Brother Jeremiah and Brother Gordon, you know, and what struck me the minute we met the saints in Zimbabwe, they started talking about the local songs, redemption by blood, changing robes, you know, and immediately I saw identification with that ministry and our ministry in the spirit, you know. This Brother G, he was talking about all these songs back in the 80s and different brothers, you know, Brother Leon and different ones. And they don't know who sister. I don't know. They know who Sister Aline is and the different brothers. I think they know Brother Claude very well based on some videos they saw of him last in Canada. But they were singing these songs, you know. They were very appreciative of these songs. So I saw a bond in the boat ministry in the spirit. And met Brother Jeremiah, very humble brother. Went to the brother's house. We settled in. That was the Tuesday. We get some kind of rest, you know. But Friday, things pick back up again. Going back into the mood, Brother Ben was set to preach this Saturday. Looking at Zimbabwe, what I recognize in Zimbabwe is a lot of message churches is springing up. Like out of one ministry, couple brothers raised up, catch a revelation of the word. God branched them out, they start a church, and that's what's happening. A rapid expansion of the message in Zimbabwe. And the people have a hunger for the word in Zimbabwe, you know? They have a deep hunger for the word. They have appreciation for the ministry. They have a great respect for the ministry. And this trip has taught me what missionary work is like. You know, going to Canada and going to Arizona is nothing like being on the foreign fields in the African territory. And it has shown me that we have been blessed there by our ministry. And you see it based on the respect the people have for Brother Ben, the way they relate to him. They look up to him for guidance and for counsel and that kind of thing. And these are things I took notice of. Eh? And, you know, we in the ministry here, many times we coming along, yeah, we have a deep revelation, yeah, we had the message, and sometimes we tend to walk with it, taking it for granted. But, you know, when you go on the foreign fields and you see people, how they hunger for this, what we have here, what we feed on daily, nightly, three times a week, four times a week, as the case may be, how they appreciate it and how they take time out to note that it's God in a man, you know, and these are things that I hold fast to me in the experiences outside. However, you know, Brother Ben was slated to preach this Saturday. However, the Friday, something occurred to me which I didn't understand. The brothers keep asking me when I singing. So I told them, I said, think I'm a singer. So I keep remarking to the brothers, I say, well, I don't sing for the congregation. I sing in the congregation. I'm not really a singer. And they keep saying, brother, when you're singing? Well, I take anything like this, I say, because I didn't understand it. The Saturday service, but I've been preaching Friday service, if I recall clearly, preaching Friday service firstly, and then he preached the Saturday service. And the Saturday service, you know, I was sitting casually in my seat there. But the night before, I was telling Timmy, I said, Timmy, boy, better we take a little practice on this song, you know, boy, in case they call me. I ain't going to look so bad. So Timmy come up to the room, and we decided to record it on tape too. I said, Timmy, right, let me take them now. So I started to sing. Put it on tape, I play it back. I said, Timmy, how is song, boy? He said, charge. I said, you let Brevin yet? See, you know, but I've been here, you can have problems, you know. Perfection, now. You can't know, you can't like, but I've been licks, boy. So I say to them all as well. The thing is, we practice. If they call me, God go work it out. So I said, I'm going to see this Saturday, but Jerry Mark come up to me casually. He said, brother, would you sing? I couldn't say anything. I just, you know, shrugged my shoulders. And they called me to sing in front of this big church. Going out with my songbook, thanks to the songbook. Going out with my songbook, you know. Greedy church. And decided to sing God Rich in Mercy. Well, I know a great part of God Rich in Mercy on my own, so I sang it. I felt comfortable. I felt at home before the congregation. And I went back to my seat. They applauded. But you know, in that channel there, they can applaud anything, eh? So after service, now everybody comes and says, brother, but you sing good. Are you going to sing again? Well, I'm shocked now. Because I know what brother been saying about the song, about the singing. And they keep, you know, it was nice. They keep making you feel comfortable, accepted, you know. And they keep stressing, brother, are you going to sing again? I said, well, as the spirit lead, you know. But then something strike me. That the same God which in Mercy, I wanted to sing in the cave, how I end up and come and sing it before the congregation. And how they accepted and appreciated it. You see? And that's the same song I wanted to sing before different ones inside the cave. And that came real to me since, you know? Came real to me. And I saw how God put off that singing for a particular time. To bless these saints, you know? And Zimbabwe was the real test of the missionary fields. Zimbabwe. Pressure. See? And I realized as their man is born, as their soldiers are made, and you know, I started a fellowship with two scriptures, you know? Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, you know? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Started a fellowship with that. Started a fellowship with Romans 12. And I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you endure hard, that you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God. Right inside there, started a fellowship with those two scriptures. Give me strength. Because the thing with Zimbabwe is that, as I told you, there was an identification with the two ministries. So therefore, the saints is like you had to give all unto them. And I realized, Brother Vin, you know, precious pastor, loving, caring, love the people, giving all, giving everything, pressing on, preacher's heart out during the services. And something strike me in the service when he was preaching. I was seeing a man understanding the position that's important. And he preached a message in Bulawayo, which I'll come to, and he made a remark that struck me. A man fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. And I took that. Certain things I took on this mission and I hold with me there. And you know, in the life, you know, in this experience with the minister, I have been the closest in this experience with the minister, apart from the Canada. Sorry, compared to the Canada and the Arizona trip. We close. You're around him, you're seeing him. You're experiencing them, you're hearing them, you hear him speaking, you see you advising, you counseling, you see you understanding his ways and different things, you know? And that was a help to me. And I watch his unselfishness, the way he will preach, and after preaching, the way he will spend time with the brothers, and then he will get in a circle and, you know, counsel and different things. And unselfishness now, man understanding his position. And the believers know that too, so it's like they was trying to take everything they could get, you know? And but I went to preach Monday. Sunday, we were supposed to go to a place called ZANU-PF. That is really the headquarters of the ruling party, Robert Mugabe's ruling party, where they keep the meetings and so on, the caucus and so on, you know. And this place was, Sunday evening was packed out, boy. Thousands of people, 4,000 or 5,000 of people. But I was supposed to preach there. However, he preached the Monday. Atmosphere charged, eh? Everybody on the expectation. People can't sit in the seat and different things. But I've been coming to preach, and the message that he preached on the missions was the same message, but he took different directions, you know, based on the people he was preaching. Though he preached standing in the gap, he preached ashes of a red heifer, chief is a redemption, as I mentioned earlier on, you know, the robe we must wear at the marriage supper. Standing in the gap and another message, I can't recall it right now. But those are the ones that he preach. And every time he preach, you're seeing the effect upon the people. Ordained messages to preach to people that was, you know, in different conditions. And the Monday service he preached. And when the minister preached the morning, place hot, eh? No air condition. Think something wrong with the air conditioning, but it didn't work. So you have 4,000 people thereabout. Talking about body heat now. Place hot, people worshiping God, people in the atmosphere, and Brother Ben preached, and he preached with an interpreter. And this interpreter, he anointed, eh? So he needs spirit too. So the minister preaching, and he preaching too. So it's like a whole atmosphere in ZANU-PF, you know? And you can see people, the Zimbabwe people, they have a deep hunger for the word, you know? And they were you see people fellowshipping after service. What the minister preach and the line he take, and how the word, you know, how it blessed them. And one of the things I took note again of is like after service, how brothers came up, you know, subtly to Brother Ben. Thank you, brother. Brother, we appreciate the word, we appreciate the message. But it's the spirit in which they were saying it, you know? I know they were related to the God in Brother Ben and not God of Brother Ben the flesh. I took note of that, you know? And then Monday, he was supposed to preach the last meeting in ZANU-PF. And he preached the services. He preached the last service, sorry. And very worn out, eh? Very tired. Hoarse, and you can see a man literally beat, eh? As I was telling him, I said, well, you like the sacrificial lamb here, you know, that has been ordained to carry the wood, and the people just there, the other carry it, you know? Die after, if the case may be. you know, and he preached his heart out on Monday. One thing I must say, the hospitality on this trip was tremendous in terms of how the saints treated us, where they took us, the keenness to always take us out, have refreshments, took us to some of the most exquisite places, you know, Mikkel's Hotel and Sheraton and different places, you know. We really appreciate that. In fact, that teach me about hospitality and really how to treat believers who will be coming to visit us, how to really treat them when they come in. So that has been a learning experience for me to the hospitality part of it. The Monday, but I went, preached, went on fellowship, came home light, normal thing. Couple hours sleep. As we said, the mode of sleep was a few hours every night, going all through the day. And Tuesday morning, started having stomach problems, you know, complaining about his stomach. So he was coupled with tiredness, not even coupled, was more than coupled. He was tired, he was hoarse, and then he had stomach problems. And then right inside there, we were on the last leg of the journey, a place called Bulawayo, which is like the second city in Zimbabwe, about an hour and a half drive. Sorry, an hour and a half airlift. And that was the last leg. And right inside between Monday, we were supposed to land in Bulawayo on Christmas Day, I think it was the Tuesday. Right inside between Monday and Wednesday, I see a real battle start to take place. The minister with all this pressure, physical pressure upon him. See, God right there, but the enemy right there, not giving him a break. And he had a stomach problem all night, Tuesday night, you know. Wednesday, came off Wednesday. I think either Tuesday or Wednesday we went shopping. Or we tried to do some measure of shopping because shopping wasn't really planned on the agenda given the way the program was structured. And right in the midst of the shopping downtown, we had to abort that because of how he was feeling, you know. We had to go back home. And that tells me something was really wrong with the man. The physical man, but I've been. And we went back home. He started to take medication and so on. Well, I understand the battle. I understand the warfare. So, you know, he started to pray in that channel and watch and see how God will work it out. The brother who you're staying by, you know, very hospitable brother, very nice brother. Produced a lot of medication, aloe vera, different things. Tell the minister, but I know it's warfare. Wednesday night now. Wednesday night was Tuesday night. Wednesday night. Come off. Tuesday morning. I think that's the morning we're supposed to fly out. Two birds. Going to my brother Vin's room. Now, Timmy has a separate room. Brother Vin has his room and I have a room. Two birds are by brother Vin's room there and they're whistling whole night. He's testifying to us now. Whole night. And he gave me the song to her. The song sound good. But you know, you're watching the warfare. Yeah? So I rest two nights in sleep, stomach problems, and then you have bird for company all night whistling your ears. And when you look at the layout of the house, how could two birds get there to whistle? I mean, it's far beyond the normal thought. Eh? However, Christmas morning, you know, all set to go to Bulawayo. The brother took us to the airport. When we reached the airport, get to understand that there was an air controller strike and flight was now put off to 9 o'clock. So a little more agony there. We had to go back and settle in some place, get some breakfast, make up some time, and then go across. When I crossed the Bulawayo the morning, as we land, 11 o'clock, right in the service, right away. Song service going on. Get inside. Timmy set up his video. I take my position, you know. But I've been inside, settling himself to go and preach right away. You know, and a sister called Sister Sasa. Remember the name good, eh? Started saying, Fountain, open the house of David. Right? Sing it in the spirit, sweet. You know, give you a feeling of back home now. Set your nice. But I've been come to the pulpit. Tired, eh? But what I recognize on this trip, you've seen a man tired in the flesh, worn out, beaten, and then when he reaches on the pulpit, you see a different behavior. You see the anointing takes over. You see the power of God, deity speaking really. And just washing that word, bringing that word to the people. And another thing I take notice of is the woman, boy. Some of the women, they just can't sit still when the word is being spoken. One woman in particular, come to mind, you know, have a real high frequency voice, very high frequency. When she say amen, like she echo everybody out, drum out everybody. And this woman, this sister, sorry, she was unstable while the word of speech, you know? And I saw in Zano PF, and I remarked to Timmy, I said, Timmy, make sure you get she on camera. And then I saw her came back to one of the brothers' church this Sunday before we leave. And I saw atmosphere again, nonstop, up and down. It's only to understand later that she survived a near-fatal crash. So she has recognized what God has done for her. So during the word, she worshiping song service, word, and worship after song service. She worshiping nonstop. You know, I take note of that. I take note of, you know, even the sisters now, the way, you know, in Africa, there's a tradition that women carry the children in the back, you know, with a sack. I even take note of that, you know, in some of the services too. They love for the Lord now, they love for the word. And whatever it takes, whatever burden it takes to bear, they take it and they go with it. And after the minister preached Christmas Day, went to the brother's house, Brother Daysman was the minister there. You know, met a few of the saints, a couple of the brothers, you know, they inquired on the ministry. And I want to remark here before I leave it out. One of the inspiring things about the experience was Timothy in his position, you know. And his encouragement now for the young people here too. And in addition to that, I even know the young people, their involvement in the work, especially at Brother Daysman's church. You know, when you watch the people who were playing the music, it was only young brothers, eh? And then you look at Timothy in his position, you know, on this trip. This was a really rigorous trip, eh? Very tough, very demanding, minimum sleep, okay? And I saw how he stood tirelessly, you know, unselfishly, you know, taping all these services. Even in nights, we come back, and sometimes he up late in the night doing taping, right? And I trust that even he could fellowship with some of the young people in that, right? And I believe that God is pointing and showing Timothy what he was called unto. You see? I believe that's his ministry. Because the manner in which he does it now, he does it easily. So it has to be anointed. It has to be God. See? And so that's another part of the whole experience that I took note of. Timothy, how he has settled in, how he has matured. And, you know, many times we see young people going through their experiences, eh? And instead of we take them aside and we fellowship with them and we direct them, we quickly beat them down. You know, and I'm just exhorting the older brothers and the older saints now that we should take notice of things like these. However, the services that was preaching Bulawayo, it really helped the people. As I mentioned earlier, but I haven't preached the same messages, just slightly different lines and different locations. But we see it was a great blessing to the people. We see again, even Bulawayo, that the identification with that ministry and our ministry, we see how close it was. We see what the saints here mean to the saints across there. We see what the singing ministry mean. We see what the word means to them in almost every avenue, right? And the last service, Brother Ben Pitch, was the Saturday. And after we preach, we had to fly out immediately. Because Sunday he had to take another service. So in other words, Brother Ben was going to preach right down to the very last before we leave. He was due to fly out the Monday evening, okay? And he was due to preach Sunday morning, the last service. We came back. He preached at one of the brothers' church, Brother Chester's Blessing, I think. And again, local songs was being played at that church. Right? The saints there again, really appreciated for the word, right? See how the word dealt with them, right? And even in that service, I was made to understand later on that Brother Ben was approached to preach at a brother's service, kind of impromptu in the evening time, which he wasn't really prepared for, you know? And the brother who he preached at the evening was the same place that I saw the lady who I mentioned earlier, chatting the floor up and down, you know? And in my heart, I thank God for the experience in Africa. As I said, I had to chop the testimony. I couldn't give you it all because it would take too long. So I had to chop it and give it as I feel led to. In my experience in Africa, I understand the missionary field. I understand what is called upon, and you know, the Spirit has been exhorting the church here. Men stand up, take a position. There's work to be done in the Caribbean. The vision has been sent forth. You know, people catch the vision now, go with it. And Africa has taught me what missionary work is like. It has taught me how to lay yourself down, lay down your life. As I quote the two scriptures to you a while ago in Timothy and Romans, a real soldier, sold out, you know, surrendered totally. Much work to be done, you know. And I trust that I had something to read, but unfortunately I wouldn't read it because of time. You know, something from the church's book, Thyatira, page 223, probably talking about servants. I wouldn't even go into that because that game will take too long, so I have to cut short. But, you know, in closing, I am thankful what God did for me in the trip, even my experience from a job, showing me that it was God in the first place, and God in the end, from start to finish. You know, and I was thankful to be the things, to see things the way I see it. I know the Spirit showed it to me, things that I wouldn't even mention, I wouldn't even speak. You know, it's like things that you see for your eyes alone. I witnessed the things that was done, and certain things I see coming up even amongst the bride, you know, in the foreign feast, which I wouldn't even speak, you know. I believe that is the minister's part to speak those things if he, you know, Spirit lead them to speak it. But I was thankful for the experience. We truly appreciate the saints here. We know you all had us in prayer. There was no doubt about that because kind of battles we had outside there. Even Timothy had a stomach problem, but I've been praying with him. Stomach problem was pushed back, you know. So we know that the saints here got down and you all sent up incense for us, which we appreciate very much. In my heart, I'm looking forward to go to Africa again. You know, Africa is different, right? I was supposed to sing a song in African for you all, a song I was supposed to practice. I didn't get time to get around to practicing it. So I trust if I don't sing it here, maybe next time when I'm going to come back, I'll sing it. Okay, so it's nice. It's good to stand here and testify. I feel relaxed, you know, to be home, back home. Not my local abode, but, you know, home here amongst the believers. And maybe just continue to unite, you know, even the prayer service tonight. You know, we felt the spirits, you know, the closest, how God came down so close to us, prayer service, you know, calling us, you know, for a deeper and closer walk. And I trust that I have the expectation this year. I know what God has in store, but I just want to be in the right channel. So saints, I truly appreciate all that you all have done for us through prayer, keeping us before you while we're on a foreign trip. I trust that your testimony tonight is a blessing in some way, in some measure, and that we continue pressing. May God bless you all with you.
Amen. Amen. Well, we just want to remind you of the bus transport. You see Brother Eddie after service, if you would like to be on that service. Let's just bow our heads with a prayer as we get ready to leave. We will get Timmy another time by God's grace. Only Brother Charles Watson would come and pray, ask God bless and dismiss him tonight. Please remember me in your prayer. Really, I'm feeling very weak and looking for God to renew my strength and build me back up.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name, Father. Lord, how we thank you tonight, Lord, for your goodness towards us, Lord. Father, coming in, you know, midst tonight, truly, Lord, we didn't see ourselves worthy of this, Father. But you see us worthy, Lord, and we recognize it, Father. And we appreciate you for this day, Lord God. We'll fail not to give you thanks, Father, for your goodness towards us, Father. Lord God, may you continue, Father, to Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to yield ourselves unto you, Father, to make ourselves available unto you, Father. Lord God, as we hear your voice calling through your servant, Lord, calling us to our place, Father, to take our rightful place, Lord, to stand as men, Father, O great God.
Yes,
Lord, when we look back down, Father, Lord, many of us are different among the years, Lord, walking before you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we see formality have ruled our lives for a while, Lord.
Yes.
All these things we see, Father. Lord, we keep walking into it in our hearts, pondering over it, Lord. looking towards you, Father, when it will come to an end, Lord. When we could stand, Lord, and obey your voice, Lord. When we could yield ourselves, Father, to the Spirit call. Oh, great God, and stand as men, Father. Lord God, how we thank you tonight, Lord, that you could come among us, Father, and Lord Jesus, take us a little higher, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God, Lord, work in our hearts, Father, and help us to surrender ourselves more, Lord. Lord, we appreciate this, Lord. Yes. We know it's your grace, Father.
Thank you.
We know it's your love, Lord. We didn't do anything for this, Father. Lord God, so therefore, Lord Jesus, we appreciate it, Lord. And tonight, Father, from tonight, Lord, we want to walk differently, Lord Jesus. And truly, I believe every brother, every sister that is represented here tonight, Lord, truly have this in their heart, Lord, Father. And Lord, we will see it, Lord Jesus. For we know, O God, that your Holy Spirit among us here tonight, Lord. Father, taking us in this place. Lord God, as we are about to leave, Lord, at this time, may you go with us, Father. Be with us, Lord, and may you continue, Lord Jesus, to speak to our hearts, Lord. And may we continue to encourage ourselves, Father, to walk in this path, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this great opportunity you have given unto us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, in this hour, Lord. Lord, as we remember our brethren, Father, even in our sister island, Lord. Lord, we keep thinking, Father, of that ministry there, Father. Oh God, how much we could make ourselves available that you could use us, Father. We think of the brethren in Guyana, Lord, up in that deep part of the jungle, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, tonight we listen to our brother testify, Father, of Africa. But right here, Lord, we have an Africa too, Lord.
Jesus.
Brethren, Father, who need our help, Lord.
Yes.
And you have made it, oh God, this way, Father, that they could look to us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we don't see anything in ourselves, but you've seen in us, Lord.
Jesus.
We have the ability, Father, to help them, Lord.
Yes.
Father, even our brethren in, oh God, the other parts of the island, Lord Jesus. Even Barbados, Lord, where your minister testify that the place becomes so dry. Oh God, isn't there a man among them, Father? Lord God, may you help us, Father, we could take our rightful place.
Oh God.
Lord, you know, in our homes, with our families.
Yes.
Lord God, among ourselves.
Yes.
Lord, remember the brethren, Lord, even the brethren meeting, Lord.
Jesus.
How we mention how we ought to have respect for one another, Lord.
Jesus.
How we ought to walk, Father. Yes. These things that remain with us, Father.
Yes.
Oh Lord. God, and upon our hearts, Lord Jesus, we want to walk as true sons, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, we thank you for your grace tonight.
Yes,
we appreciate it, Lord.
Thank
we see
you.
That you is among us, Father.
Hallelujah.
Walking among us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, even as your minister walked through and through the congregation, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we can know it is you walking among us, encouraging our hearts,
thank
Father.
You, Jesus.
Oh, God, how we ought to stand, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
these things we see tonight, Lord. And Lord God, how we make ourselves available unto your Spirit, Father. Oh, God, as we're about to leave, may you bless every brother, every sister, Lord. Every child in our midst, Father, every mother, Lord, may you bless them, Father, our prayer. We thank you for your goodness. Go with us now
thank
as we go.
You.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Could have had to say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Draw me deeper, deeper to your word of truth as we go. God, would you bless you this Sunday morning? Let's track me out early by God's grace. Bless you. See you Sunday morning.